welcome to the Think Kingdom Church podcast. I'm Marcus Looney, the Creative Arts Director here at Think Kingdom Church. We want to welcome you to week 5 of the series Rock the Bells. Let's go ahead and jump in and see what God's Word has for us with our resident pastor, Ramon Bellagamba.
So we are now in a time where things are dark. Things are kind of foggy. And this is the time where God's people are supposed to proclaim the light of the world. It's when things are darkest and most chaotic that we are called to stand up and point people to the kingdom of God. But I feel like that's not what most of God's church in America is doing right now. I feel like we are distracted. We're distracted by our idols. We're distracted by our comforts. Idols is one of those comforts. And we're not doing what we have been sent to do. And also, we also fighting a pushback of just what we know is normal. What we have always seen is normal. And many in the church have not decided that they really want to get in the game, that they really want to join what the Spirit of God is calling for us to do. And when there's always pushback from the church, it's usually when it's something that's either rediscovered or something completely new to the world and to our frame of reference and our thoughts. And it kind of makes me think about in the 16th century. In the 16th century, we still thought that everything revolved around Earth and nothing else in the solar system could be the center reference point. But then Nicholas Copernicus, I'm probably butchering his name, but the fact is he set out that the sun was everything that the solar system revolves around. But the Roman Catholic Church said, we can't let this sounds blasphemous. This sounds crazy. We have to shut them down. And it took almost close to 100 years later to Johannes Kepler and Galileo rediscovered and uncovered again that what Copernicus was saying was actually the truth, that everything revolves around the sun, and it's not the earth that is the center reference point. And you may be like, where is he going with this? I'm trying to tell you that in the 20th century, there was a rediscovery by theologians of the church about what we would call a doctrine we would call the Missio Dei, right? The mission of God. And in this time in the 20th century, the mid to late 20th century, theologians like Leslie Newbegin let us know that the true nature of God, one of his aspects of his nature is that he's ascending God. So the Father sent the Son. And the Son, as you read in our text right here, is sending the church. But the Father and Son also send the Spirit. So it's not even the Son that is just sending the church, but it's actually the Son and the Spirit. And now, where we are as the church, because we haven't embraced what others were saying in the late 20th century about the Missio Dei, that has us in a weird spot because we haven't been making disciples and we haven't been growing as disciples as we should. So it's like when this pandemic hit, it's like the church was caught with its pants down. Like we weren't ready to follow the Spirit. We weren't ready to follow Jesus like we already should have been doing. And this is a time where we have this great missional moment. And we've been rocking the bells for a reason. This theme shouldn't be something that should be new to us. This should be the regular rhythm of the church. That we should be blessing others. That we should be eating with others who are unlike us. That we always should be listening to the Holy Spirit. And that we should always be learning at the feet of Jesus. And these are habits, and including this fifth habit for us to live sent, that we have to get back to. Because our true identity, church, is to live as the sent ones of God. And the main point of this message that I want to make clear to you is that we are saved to live sent lives. That we are saved to live sent lives. So the reality is that we weren't saved for our lonely, for our own good, but we were saved. We were brought from death to life to make disciples, to make followers of Jesus. It's not about our personal salvation. It's not about us getting our get out of hell free card or living our best life now. And it isn't about us deciding that we're going to live a Christish life, but that we're going to die to self and live to God. And that we're going to follow Christ so tightly and live a Christ-like life that transformation occurs. That we truly living out of our identity as a new creation. And that the fact that we have been saved for a purpose. And that purpose, as this text tells us, is to continue Jesus' mission in the world. And we live in the kingdom of self. The kingdom of Satan controls the systems of the world. And the kingdom of self always delivers false hope. And it's never going to deliver on that promise. They always tell us that history is bending towards social progress and that utopia is within our grasp. Did y'all read Genesis 11? The Tower of Babel? How'd that kind of turn out? If you ain't paid attention, Satan's kingdom is always trying to lead us back to being that Tower of Babel. How we could live independent of God and do everything. And what's 2020 shown them? Y'all ain't controlling nothing. And the progress that y'all think y'all making is actually not the progress of the God's design for the world. Our mission is simple, family, think kingdom. Alert others to the universal reign of God through Christ. That we are constantly pointing people to Jesus. He's the king. And the world has always suffered from king's disease. As the philosopher Nas would say, the world thinks they got a cure. But the cure, we know, church, is Jesus. And we are to be pointing people to the light of the world, that king who reigns in heaven. We want that king to reign in the hearts of more and more people. We want his name to be hallowed. But the mission of God, our king, is not just saving people. He's also restoring all things. We have to realize, family, that we are co-laborers in extending the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So we're not just praying that to begin the Lord's Prayer, but that we are active joining Jesus in his mission and restoring all things on earth as it is in heaven. So you get back to the question, we're talking about, we're rocking the bells, we're talking about live sent. But the main focus of this message is, where are we sent to? We're saying live sent, but where? And God in his scriptures has told us from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there are three ways. We are sent to places. We are sent to people. We are sent to positions. So firstly, I want us to know that even in my introduction, the main thing that the church has to do is we have to change our mindset. And we have to change our mindset about place. Because place is so, people move from place to place. Like, we don't have what you call a theology of place and how that is so important to us as the people of God. And we have to ask ourselves a question. Do we look at where we live, where we work, and where we play as a place we have been sent by God? So where we live is our first place. This is where we spend a good amount of our time and we build relationships with our neighbors. Where we work is what you would call our second place and where many of us spend most of our week. And then where we play is our third place. So whether it's restaurants, whether it's coffee shops, whether it's the grocery store, whether it's the gym, this is a place where we interact and do life with the world. And we have to wrap our minds and change our imagination to remember that these are all places that we are sent. So we are sent these places to alert people to the reality of Jesus. We are sent ones to bring the gospel to those places. So I'm going to put a little more Bible on that for y'all. Let's turn to Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Like our text, the context of this verse is post-resurrection. And Jesus is giving a final commission to his disciples. Jesus is pointing us to places that his disciples will be sent to declare the gospel when he says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So think kingdom. I want y'all to realize the reality that God is calling all of us to be missionaries. So the definition of sent ones is also missionaries. And we're to live as witnesses to the kingdom of God. And it doesn't matter if it's to the four corners of our block or it's to the four corners of the globe. Some of us will feel that call to live locally, to live on mission for God. While there may be some of us that God has stirred something in our hearts, and we want to go overseas. We want to go wherever he calls for us to go. But the reality of it is that we are all sent somewhere. Also, clearly in the context of this verse in John 20 and also in Acts 1, is that to live sent requires us to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. In John 20:22, it reads, he gives his disciples a command, receive the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1:8, it tells us that the effects of what happens when we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive power. For us to live as sent ones requires us to rely on the Holy Spirit and not to try to be witnesses for Christ in our own strength. That's like us living in a house and always lighting candles and never turning on the light switch for the power. So if we're living on mission, Let us not be doing that without turning on the power and relying upon the power to live sent in the places that God has us. And let us join Jesus on his mission wherever he's placed us. We also have to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is already doing. Everybody that we come in contact with is an eternal being. Everybody that we come in contact with has a story. Everybody that we come in contact is somewhere in their life. And the Holy Spirit is already wooing them. Christ has been pursuing them. So we just have to be obedient and find out where this person is with the Holy Spirit in this moment, that we're listening to them, and that we're figuring out how we could be used to point them to the reality of the reign of God through Christ. You might think that sharing the good news is that all we have to do. But yes, we have to be agents of reconciliation through telling people, but we also have to demonstrate reconciliation of God's reign. That we always have to know that we have to live our lives in word and deed. So think about it. Why don't you think about it as we invite a neighbor over for dinner? We talked about eating with others. What about someone that you've always been in beef with or you had tension with? What about inviting them to dinner? What about at work? What about being the mediating party between two colleagues who have been at each other's throats? What about thinking when we go to the local grocery store, how we could be sharing little bits of God's story and our testimony with our favorite cashier every time we go to check out? The bottom line is that we should be praying daily for opportunities to be witnesses in the places that God has sent us in this time in history. Here, the reality of it is that in John, Jesus tells us that we must be salt and light. And we have to be salt and light wherever we live, wherever we work, and wherever we pray. And we have to preserve what is good, and we have to push back whatever is evil. Are y'all familiar with the CIA? Everybody's heard of the CIA before, right? A lot of us have become a little bit more familiar with the CIA through our favorite TV shows and movies. So we know that CIA has operatives that are sent to different places, and that all of these different CIA operatives have different assignments. And some of them are even sent to be sleeper cells. So they are sent into organizations that they are to blend in, that they are to gather off information, and at the right time, they're going to be mobilized to take down the people or the organization. So in a similar way, church, Jesus has sent us to places to be his agents of reconciliation, justice, beauty, and wholeness. That we are to alert those who are enslaved to the kingdom of Satan, to the reality of the kingdom of God, and where we are to dwell peacefully with all people and join the mission of Christ. But not only does Christ and the Holy Spirit send us to places, but they also send us to people. So throughout church history, men and women have been sent by God to specific groups of people, whether from their own culture or from another. And one clear way of knowing that you are sent to a specific people is the fact that you have a burden to help the cause of these people. And Jesus had a burden for the least of these. And if we're continuing his mission, our hearts must have a burden for the marginalized, the forgotten, and the oppressed people in our city. And also another clear way of knowing that you may be sent to a person or to a people is through a constant nudging of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts gives us some clear examples of that. So we see in Acts 8, we see about Philip. He's going to the Ethiopian eunuch, and how the Holy Spirit nudged him to him. Then after Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch, he was led out to Samaria to go preach the gospel to the Samaritans. Then we also see Peter as he's nudged to Cornelius. And God, remember, this is the same Peter who earlier didn't want nothing to do with the Gentiles. That when the people of Israel came, the Jewish Christians came, he was hiding. He was getting away from the Gentiles. But he was obedient to the Holy Spirit. And he went to Cornelius' household. God nudged these men to reach people that they naturally wouldn't cross paths with. Those that were uncommon to their social circles. And this is the call of the gospel, that we should always be ready to be sent on mission to groups of people we never interact with. The Holy Spirit's present in the world and in our souls should always have us open to the miraculous. Think about how many times you might be closing the door on the Holy Spirit's power to be using you. So honestly, we have to think through, who are the vulnerable in our neighborhood, in our city? Who are the marginalized that don't get to experience the full life of the city? Those that are overlooked, unheard, isolated, or pushed to the fringes of the culture. The way our cities are made, they use the poor, the powerless. I know y'all heard about gentrification, and what that does and how that devastates communities, displacing people. That's just one of the ways. But just think about, who's the who? Are we thinking about maybe we have a burden and that we are sent to orphans? Are we thinking about maybe we have a burden and we are sent to the elderly and disabled? What about the refugee or the immigrant? Do we have a burden to be sent to them? What about single parents? Do we have that burden to help out that single mom or that single dad who's struggling with virtual education right now? What about those struggling with mental illness? Do we have that burden? What about human trafficking victims? Praise God they found those 39 children in Georgia this week. What about, do we want to live sent to people struggling with substance abuse because we were once an addict? Jesus pursued people because they were created in his image. He loved them. If we are to live sent lives to people, that must be our motive as well, family. That we love people because they're made in God's image. That we love because he has loved us first. We have to inform these people that are living out in the margins, those that have been marginalized and forgotten, of the reality of God's kingdom. A lot of these people, they ain't living with no hope. And right now, a lot of people are jobless. A lot of people are just really struggling with everything, the social unrest. Like, they're just not hopeful about anything right now. Everybody is down on their luck right now. Why don't we point them to God's kingdom? There are none that are disadvantaged or marginalized in the kingdom of God, where everyone has enough and there's no injustice based on the lines that divide us in culture. But we must not also forget that we are sent to families. What about our own family? I know almost everyone in here that's a believer knows someone in their family that's not in Christ. Like all people, we must point them to their brokenness. We must point them to them living in their sin apart from God's design. And that we point them to the hope of the world, Jesus, to repent and believe in the gospel so they can recover and pursue God's design for their life. Jesus helped the blind, the lame, the lepers, and the deaf, and he even raised the dead as evidence of God's kingdom coming in glory. Restoration, the healing of broken people, is probably our primary evidence right now of God's universal reign in the world today. How he brings people who were broken and who were dead to the things of God, how he brings them to life. And he changes lives. He restores marriages. He restores broken families. So we have to live sent as agents of this. We also must live sent being used as advocates for the unborn, for the immigrants, for the poor, for the single mom, for the refugee, for the child being trafficked, for those without clean water, for those who receive unfair treatment from our legal system. We can't forget that the foundation of the kingdom of God is the pillars of righteousness and justice. So if we are to live sent, and this is our identity, we have to walk into those spaces, being those signs and agents of the kingdom. And Christ sends his people to places, to people, but he also can send us to positions. The scriptures give us so many examples of people being sent into positions of influence or within specific industries. So we think about, through the Old Testament, we could point to how God preserved the line of the Messiah so that Jesus could come. And he did it through placing his people in different positions to keep the promise of the kingdom. We see that early in Genesis, we see it through the life of Joseph. Then we can lead into the book of Exodus and we see it through the life of Moses. Then we get a little bit farther in the Old Testament and we could check it out in Nehemiah. And then we could also look at it during the time of exile when we look at Esther, just to name a few. So through this, we see that the faithfulness of God to his people and to his covenant. Then we also can look at the New Testament, and we see how the gospel moves through the conversion of people into positions of influence within society. I preached a few weeks ago about Levi, better known as Matthew, and the tax collector, and how God saved him. What about Zacchaeus? If you read through the Gospels, he was the head of all the tax collectors, and how God saved him. And then another person in position was Cornelius. He was a head in the Roman army when Peter went to speak to him. Then I already spoke about the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip went to, and then we also have to look how the Lord opened up Lydia's heart as she was influential in her society as well. God seeks to use people in positions to advance his kingdom. So for us, family, the question is, are we in the right mindset to see how we can leverage our positions to be a sign of the reign of God through Christ that's present in the world? So whatever positions that God has us in life right now, he can use us. We are sent in this time and place. So teenagers, how can your love for gaming, music, and art be used as expressions to show the beauty of Christ and his kingdom? Business owners, managers, directors, and supervisors, how can you get your employees out for a retreat or just for some relaxation and team building activities in God's creation and point them to the beauty of God's kingdom through his creation? God has sent us to positions that we are currently in to steward our gifts, our talents, and our abilities for the glory of his name. And to alert others to the reign of God through Christ in the world. So in our upcoming series, we're going to be in the book of Esther. And we're actually going to unpack more of how God sends his people to positions for his kingdom purposes. And Esther is one of the most unique books in the Bible in the fact that God's name is not mentioned not once in all of those 12 chapters of Esther. But God is at work in the world in the book of Esther. And we know he's at work in the world right now. And we're going to learn how to live sent in a divided land. The truth of our triune God is that he acts in the fullness of time to create changes in human history. Christ came into the time at the right precise moment that movement could be created. He also does this when he sends people in the right position to overturn the powerful stronghold of evil in the world. And in the 18th century, there was a man by the name of William Wilberforce, who in Britain, he came to election in Parliament about 1780. And at that time, he wasn't in Christ. But by the end of that decade, the Lord led him from death to life. And when he became a new creation, he just flipped the script. Prior to Christ, he was living a very immoral lifestyle. But then after he came to Christ, he sought his position in Parliament to be an agent of social reform. So he crusaded to get better working conditions for factory workers in Great Britain. But better known to most people is the fact that he sought to abolish slavery in Great Britain and all of the British colonies. And for 18 years, all the time in Parliament, William Wilberforce was putting out anti-slavery motions. And it took 18 years of persistence in that position that God had placed him that there was a breakthrough. So in 1807, the slave trade was outlawed in Great Britain and its colonies. But the sad reality of that was slavery was still going. So if you was a slave, you were still a slave. So it literally took another 25 years. And he actually died in that same year in 1833 that the Slavery Abolition Act was actually passed. But God used William Wilberforce's life and his position for restoration here on earth. So we never know those people that we are sharing the gospel with, how them being in that position may change things for others, or how we could be used in the position God has placed us right now. So I want y'all to know, family, that mission is not an activity. Mission is a part of our identity because we image God. And mission is part of God's nature. We are sent ones. Being missional is being yourself, who God has created you to be in Christ. It's making disciples where you live, where you work, and where you play. It's making disciples as we go about life. It's not an add-on activity, but it's us learning to live life with gospel intentionality. To make disciples is to call and equip men and women to be signs and agents of God's reconciliation, justice, beauty, and wholeness in all of life. In the language of the scriptures, all of Jesus' disciples are sent to someone in some place. Jesus doesn't appoint some to be missionaries and for the rest of us to sit on the bench. Pastors ain't professional missionaries. People that we send to far off lands aren't professional missionaries. We all are missionaries. So Jesus sends us all to follow him into the world and to proclaim the gospel and to be a part of bringing his kingdom. This is how God is making himself known through his people, by sending them out into the world. We are all sent out into the world, and we are given those that we are going to relate to. We are all commissioned to our workplace. We are all placed in our streets. We all lay down roots in our third places. Reality of it is, we all have neighbors. We all, if we work outside of home, have coworkers. We all have friends. Like coffee, you got a barista. Some of y'all may even like to do yoga, your yoga instructor. Some of us have financial advisors. Some of us are students, so we have teachers. Or as parents, we know teachers as well. As students, they have classmates. There are so many people, including our family relationships, that God is asking us to be used for us to let people know about the kingdom of God. And to invite them folks who don't follow Jesus to know the gospel and how they could become followers of Jesus. So as we seek to live sent with gospel intentionality, I want to leave y'all with a homework assignment. I want y'all to begin a journal. And in this journal, I want you to identify and record the ways you mirrored God's work of justice, reconciliation, beauty, and wholeness in the world. This is a key to us developing this fifth habit. It's about reshaping our identities around our calling as the sent ones of God. So by us fostering this habit, by journaling the various ways, whether large or small, in which you alerted others to God's reign of reconciliation, justice, beauty, and wholeness, you will find yourself growing and identifying yourself as a sent one. And remember that you can alert others to these things by talking about them, that's witnessing, and by demonstrating them, that's showing action indeed. So we are saved to participate in God's mission. His mission is for heaven to come to earth so that his will be done on earth and that every living thing will benefit. And we are praying, we are doing this by praying and going, just as Christ did, living sent lives to places, to people, and in the positions God has placed us. So thank kingdom. Let us live sent. Let us pray. Father, I just pray that this message was received. I pray that we live life differently, that we desire to live as your sent ones, to be used to make disciples. And we actually learn what it is to be a disciple. And I just pray that you are glorified through our lives, and that we listen to you, Holy Spirit, that we seek to learn from you, Jesus, that we bless others, we eat with others, and we live as the sent ones that you've called us to be. I pray this in Jesus' name.
And that was our resident pastor, Ramon, with the S to be sent. God calls us in every place we go to make Jesus known. If you're blessed by anything you hear on this podcast, you feel led to give, feel free to text the word GIVE to 704-741-3705. Again, thank you for joining us as we continue to rock the bells. We will wrap this series up next week, and you can hear this series and more right here on the Think Kingdom Church podcast.